Welcome to Chicago Tabernacle, a place of becoming. Wherever you find yourself, we pray that you would be encouraged today by God's word.
Good morning, church. Good morning, family. Good morning, brothers and sisters. It is truly a blessing, honor to be here on Father's Day. I want to wish all the fathers a happy Father's Day, especially the spiritual father of this house, Pastor Toledo, whom I was able to talk to today. He sends his greetings and truly been a blessing in my life and my family's life. And just me standing here today, he's had so much influence and impact. Can anyone else agree that Pastor Toledo has made an impact on their life and how God has used him mightily? So we're so thankful for him. And speaking about my family, I'm sure many of you know them in Chicago, but Philly, you do not know them, so hopefully they're showing a picture of my family. Is it up? Is it up? There it is. That's us. My son, Cannon, is 10. Gabrielle is 13, soon to be 14, so pray for me. Pray for me. And then my lovely boo-thang, as I address her, Allie, that's my wife. And I always tell people, honestly, the Holy Spirit has a voice that sounds a lot like my wife. So I'm truly grateful for her and how God uses her. One thing, I know, you know, I feel like I'm at home, so I can just talk freely before we get started. My wife, she's on Moody Radio, 5 to 9 in the mornings, Allie. And I often say this, is that she talks from 5 to 9 a.m. on the radio, helping you take your next step with Jesus is their mission. But she doesn't run out of words in that 5 to 9 a.m. So she continues to call me higher. And men of God, celebrate the women or the people in your life that God puts there who continue to call you higher. You know, I'm so thankful in this moment for her, and I know I wouldn't be here without her and the words that she's spoken over me, prayed over me, and given me. So I want to not neglect saying hi to Philly. Philly, I'm just a regular church member who come to Chicago Tabernacle, but so you can hear it from me and not just from the pastoral staff, is that you are our brothers. We love you. We pray for you. We care about you. We're grateful to be connected in the body of Christ, and we're grateful to know that the name of Jesus is being proclaimed in Philadelphia. So hello to Philly. Hello, everyone who's joining us online. I pray that the online platform serves you really well. So that being said, it's Father's Day. It is Father's Day. And before I even start the message, I recognize this can be a difficult day for some. You know, whether you didn't have a dad in your life, whether you lost your dad, whether you didn't have a good dad, this day I know can bring about a lot of different emotions. And so I just want to take a moment to say, you know, I know and recognize that it's not a celebration for everyone the way that everyone might think. Also, I have to take time, as I grew up in the suburbs of Chicago, many of my friends didn't have a dad. Shout out to single moms. Are there any single moms out here who gotta do both? Let's give the single moms some love. You know, I've had many people who bless my life from some single moms. So, like I said, I have mixed emotions about this day. And I'm grateful to be a dad today. I'm a dad for 13 years, praise the Lord. And children truly are a gift from the Lord. But I'm dancing around a topic right now. I'm supposed to be going into something. And I'm asking for the Lord to give me strength to share this. November 21st, 1992. You know, there's not everyone has specific days in their life where there's a turning point that you can remember, especially that long ago. But November 21st, 1992, my life was pretty much took another turn suddenly. And it was the day that my father died suddenly, tragically, in a car accident on the Stevenson, I-55. And I can remember it still so clearly. I was awakened in the middle of the night. I was awakened in the middle of the night to what I thought was laughter. My mother was crying so hysterically. She was crying so hysterically. I thought she was laughing. And I was in the basement. I came upstairs to see what was going on. It's about 3:30, 4 a.m., I believe. And I see her crumbling. And a police officer and a priest pulled me aside. And they told me what was happening. Trying to process, trying to understand, worried about my mother. It brought so many different things, so many different emotions. At one time, I was 11 years old. And fast forward through that time, through the, you know what happens next, right? You call the family and the people come. My parents, my family are from, I'm first generation American. So my parents are from the island of Haiti. And people were coming from Haiti, people coming from New York. If there's any Haitians in here, you know New York and Florida is where everybody's at, right? And we felt a small moment of comfort. You know, I felt people coming to love on my mother who was in a dark place in depression, basically, from that moment. But you know, the funeral happens and the people gotta go and life goes. Life continues to go on. And as our family tried to come back together, I was so changed inside. It was so abrupt. The twist, the turn in my life, it shook me as a kid. You know, everything, some of the things you think that are stable, you know, in this world, and when you try to trust it, sometimes when it's taken away, you see that it shakes you, because there's only one thing that's eternal. There's only one thing that lasts. There's only one Father that can last, right? Anything else that you put your trust or your hope in is sinking sand, right? But everything that I knew to trust in was shaken. And I dealt with anxiety because of it. You know, if anything would happen, if my mother was 2 minutes late coming home from work, I'd be at the window praying that it wouldn't be a police and another priest at my door. You know, I would often struggle with fear because of it. So fearful of so many different things. And my mother trying to do her best, but she was struggling. She just was struggling. You know, it's a moment of grief, and I don't want to stay here too long because I don't want you guys to be sad, right? This is a happy day. But you know, around this time, I'm dating myself, The Bodyguard came out, right? The movie, and many of you guys probably know the song "I Will Always Love You" and Whitney Houston, right? But the song is a little different when you hear a grieving mom driving her car listening to this song, singing it. So when I hear that song, that's what replays in my mind. That's a sound. I have a soundtrack to what that moment in my life was. There was another song on she was playing. It was "I Want to Run to You." You know. So I'm watching her drive me to Walmart, playing these songs, tears coming down her face. She's trying to mother two boys. I have an older brother. So I'm painting this picture to tell you, you know, I was, you know, my house, my home was a mess. You don't know what kids walk in these doors or walk into the youth ministry with, right? My home was a mess. But over time, I'm so thankful that I know my mother prayed, you know? And there was a moment where she's decided she wanted to go to church. And you know what? I didn't want to go. I did not want to go. And so I asked her to drop me off at a church down the street from the church she was going to just so I could be with my friends. I said, well, if I got to go, at least I know my friends go here. And it's amazing what God can use to get you to church, right? And the interesting thing was, is when I went to that church, I never left. I kept going. And it was a spiritual father there who helped usher me into the kingdom of God. So don't minimize the impact that you have, fathers or spiritual fathers in the house, because it was one, and I can tell you his name, may he rest in peace, David Branch, helped usher me into the kingdom of God and led me to Jesus, who I end up giving my life to and accepting him as Lord and Savior. Which turned my life back down a path towards God in a life filled with hope. So I can stand here on Father's Day and share all of that with all of you and say God turned my tragedy to triumph because I know that I'm not left without a father and neither are you. And there's a father for everyone. And so if I could title what I would share today, it would be that. That there is a father for everyone. So often in my life, even still, once I receive this peace and that joy, as time goes by, I often felt like, especially now, let me fast forward. I'm looking at the clock. I often felt like now that I'm a dad without a dad. You know, there's times where the enemy can bring those type of thoughts to me, right? And I didn't know how to fix things, or I didn't learn how to take care of certain things on a car, or I didn't learn how to build so many things for the house, and all these things where I felt inadequate, or I didn't feel like I felt cheated because I didn't have a father at home to teach me some of these things that you see on TV. I didn't have, you know, what was on the Cosby Show, Bill, Mr. Huxtable. I didn't have that at home to teach me. But God continues to remind me that I have a father and he's perfect. He continues to remind me that I have a father and he is perfect. And so before we get into the text that I wanted to share with you guys, I want to give you a little context. We enter a period in time where talking about Solomon, who becomes king of Israel right after his father dies, right? His father was David, a man after God's own heart, this great king, this great leader. And he sets him up to be king. And he's about 19 years old. He's about 19 years old. Before he dies, his father gives him instructions to take care of this, do that, do this. And he ends up doing that. He ends up securing and establishing the kingdom. And once he is king, and after he takes care of these things, we jump into the story right at that point. So if you can put the text up, it says, Solomon showed his love for the Lord by walking according to the instructions given him by his father, David. Except that he offered sacrifices and burned incense on the high places. Now, for those who know their Bible, I'll pause there. Solomon becomes a great king, and we're not going to talk about that, but it was one of the periods in history where it was like the golden age of Israel. But I love that except part, that God still blessed him even though there's an accept. You know, so there might be something that you're doing. Maybe you don't got it all together. I know I don't. But he still loves me even with my accept. Even when I don't got it all right yet. I'm trying to honor him as my father, but there's some accepts in my life. And I'm so thankful that God still ends up blessing him even though there's some accepts in his life. All right. The king went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices. For that was the most important high place, and Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream. And God said, ask. I'm doing better. My wife is going to tell me later. You still? Ask. She does broadcast journalism, so speaking is serious, right, in our home. Ask for whatever you want me to give you. Man, can you imagine if God just pulled up and was like, just give me what, just ask. I know I would mess that up. Solomon answered, you have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Wow. He recognizes the kindness of God, even to his father. That's amazing, right? Maybe there's some kindness that we need to recognize. Maybe we would shout a little bit more if we took a moment and just recognized his kindness. Are you here today because of his kindness? Amen. My goodness, man. I put an offering right now. Boy, he's been good to me. He has been good to me. All right, where are we at? Now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father, David. But I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. A little bit more, bear with me. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? The Lord was pleased that Solomon asked for this. So God said to him, this is my God voice, since you have asked. You know, I listen to the Bible sometimes, and I heard one that had James Earl Jones, and right? Since you have asked for this, and not for long life or wealth for yourself, or nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. Man, God answers prayer, doesn't he? He doesn't answer exactly how he wants, right? But he does even more, right? So praise God that he answers prayer. I will give you a wise and discerning heart. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. So that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. Praise the Lord for the word of God, right? Praise the Lord. I look at that and I say, wow. You know, the word here of the day, and I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but it's beyond. God goes beyond, doesn't he? When we ask, he gives you more than what you just need. He just blesses, and it's abundance with God. And he shows it right there. I love the fact that as Solomon became king, he's just became king. I can't imagine, right? In the position, his father is no longer there and he's become king. He decides to pray, right? He decides to pray. Because if it was me, 19, Henry, 19, show me the vault. Show me the, man, put some gold rims on all the chariots. Man, I'm so thankful I'm so thankful for God's grace and mercy, because like I said, I know I would have messed some things up at 19. But you see the humility here where he says, I'm not great enough to carry out my duties. I don't have enough in me to do what you've called me to. But guess what? You might be feeling like that today, but you can call on him and ask him just like Solomon did. You can seek the Lord and he will be found. And so the first point of what I want to share to you is the Father's presence. Solomon seeks the Lord. And at Gibeon, and the word and the text says that at Gibeon, the Lord appeared, right? It says in chapter 3, verse 5, at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream. And God said, ask for whatever you want me to give you. There's a Father, like I said, for everyone, and he's perfect. And he wants to be with you. Solomon went and sought the Lord, and God showed up. And I'm sure there's many times in your life, whether you recognize it or not, where God showed up. And I love the fact in the song that the band was singing, they said, God Emmanuel, God is with us. He wants to be with us. That's why he sent his son Jesus, so he could restore relationship to be with us, right? And he showed up for Solomon. I'm here to tell you today, he'll show up for you. And it's not a surprise that Solomon knew this, because I believe it was David, the psalmist, who wrote that even in the darkest valley, I will fear no evil because thou art with me. So he knew once he became king, like he said, if I would have became king, I would have been like, man, bring the chef, man. Jerk up some chicken. I want gourmet meals. No, he went and sought the Lord. He sought the Lord and God showed up. It reminds me in Daniel chapter 3. It's not going up on the screen, but in Daniel chapter 3, there were three Hebrew boys, right, who were faced with some insurmountable. Did I put another? You know what I'm saying. Insurmountable odds. Right? And they got tested and they got put in the fire, literally. But God showed up, and you might be in a moment where you're feeling like you in the fire, right? I know my mom back in 1992 and 93 felt like she was in the fire in some moments, but praise the Lord that God showed up. And I can stand here today and proclaim that there is a Father for everyone. So God showed up, like I said, in that tragedy. I call it a tragedy. And we're all not immune to problems. Everybody has a story in their life, but God showed up in mine. But it wasn't only that. God also showed up in some of my disappointments. And a lot of by the graphics you see, that we got an amazing team, right? Look at this. They got the paint, the key. They got the Father's Day. Shout out to CT's graphics team. This is great. I love the basketball theme. For anybody who knows me, I'm currently on staff with the Chicago Bulls. My position now is to help the head coach of their developmental team. So basically, if most people here know baseball for some reason, it's like the minor leagues to the NBA. So we're the farm team for the Chicago Bulls, and I've been allowed to be the head coach for the last 2 years. And before I was a coach, I was a player. And gentlemen, I'm not saying play. No. No. I love my wife. I love my wife, and I got a good one. In case, I love my wife. You know, it says beauty is fleeting, right? And charm is deceptive, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. You know, so I know it's Father's Day, but I gotta make sure I'm still alive tonight. No, make sure I praise my wife. I said that out loud. But I was a player. And throughout my college career. I had some success. I played at Eastern Illinois University, and I was fortunate enough to, I was fortunate enough to have some success. Let's say that. Coming out of college, God had blessed me. I say it's God because I knew it wasn't me. I was the number one scorer in the country. No one scored more points than me in college basketball my senior year. From whatever university it was, Duke, Kansas, whatever, I'm sorry. My senior year, you didn't score more than by God's grace, right? I say that humbly. And so when it came time for the NBA draft, you know, there was some expectation. There was some expectation. And my mom cooked food. The newspapers came to my house. Back then, it was newspapers. It wasn't, right? Newspapers at my house. My friends are there, you know. We got the rice and beans popping, some plantains, all of that, right? And we watched the whole draft, and my name didn't get called. My name didn't get called. And this goal that I've had my whole life, I was wondering what's next. What am I going to do? This is all I know. I've put everything into this goal. And I remember feeling so disappointed. I said, God, I gave my life to you. I'm trying to serve you. I'm not doing what those guys are doing. You're supposed to bless me, right? You do that conversation in your mind if we're being honest, right? And feeling that disappointment, a little bit of discouragement. If you fast forward through the next coming months, I ended up deciding or accepting a contract to go play in Turkey. I said, Turkey? I don't know where it is. I don't even know if I heard of it. My agent calls, says you're going to Turkey. And so I had to look on the map to find where it was. And I said, okay, hey, if basketball's there, if you put a ball on the moon, I'm going to play it. So I went. All the meanwhile, as I'm there, it's a Muslim country. At the time, it's 98% Muslim. I'm alone. This is for the first time. I was still living with my mom. If I didn't get married, I'd still be with my mom. Shame. It's, you know, like I said, I lost my father when I was young. I was up under my mom, right? So I go to Turkey and I'm alone. I'm in this Muslim country. The coach doesn't speak English. Half of my team doesn't speak English. And I said, God, come on. Come on, God. Come on. You said, delight yourself in the Lord and you'll give me the desires of my heart. This is not the desire of my heart. This isn't it. But can I share with you? This was one of the moments where I had the most growth ever in my life and in my faith and in my walk with Christ. And it took me being isolated from everyone and being able to only be with God. Sometimes only have that conversation with God for him to minister and do the work that he needed to do in my life and in my heart. You know, he revealed things to me like, hey, I know you love basketball, but maybe basketball is an idol. You know, he said, you wanted the NBA more than you wanted me. Yeah, he got in my kitchen, right? I was using God to try to get to the NBA. You know? And so he revealed some things about me, about myself, to myself. And it just so happens, I said, God, I'm here by myself. I don't know why I had the motivation. That was the first season where I didn't have school and I didn't have family. I didn't have any distractions. This is back before FaceTime. This is AOL Messenger. Hey, you on? You know, this is these times, right? I'm old. If you didn't know, I'm old. You could probably tell by the hairline. But this was that time. And God put it on my heart to read the Bible. I said, before the season ends, I got to read the Bible from front to back. And through that, me getting in his word and seeking him, He met me there in a powerful way. And I can truly say I'm so thankful that I didn't make the NBA at that moment. You know, what I thought was a discouraging thing, and it was one of the times that blessed me the most. And I know if I would have been in the NBA, knowing where I was at that moment, I wouldn't have my wife, because I would have messed that up. I wouldn't have my family. God kept me from so much by not giving me what I wanted at that moment. You know, and sometimes it takes time for you to understand a blessing. Am I right? Yeah. Am I right? Sometimes it takes a little bit of time. It takes some experience for you to understand that blessing. Yes, sir. And so he showed up in my discouragement and he gave his presence, right? But he also gives us privilege. And the Father's privilege is the next point I want to make. And it's, if we can go to the text, it says at Gibeon, it's the next one, I believe, right? Nope, my bad. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon. It's, you so close to the screen, they got it underlined and I still got it wrong. Ain't that crazy? Shame on me. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream. And God said, ask for whatever you want me to give you. Amen. As believers, what a remarkable privilege we have, right? Just to ask. He invites us to ask. You know, I don't want to take that for granted, because he doesn't need us, but we darn sure need him. And as believers, we have remarkable privileges in God, and he allows us to ask. You know, and let's be honest, right? Kingdom privilege is better than any worldly privilege, right? They got male privilege. They got some race privilege, they say. If you're a veteran, you get some privileges. Some age, at certain age, you get privileges, right? But there's no privilege better than kingdom privilege, right? The only requirement is that you're just a son or a daughter, and you have the freedom to ask from your Father, because he loves you and he wants to bless. He is ready to help. And Solomon asks to be equipped, right? And he allows us to pray and do the same thing. So fathers here, if you're feeling like you're at a task that is too big for you like Solomon, just ask. He's ready to equip. He's ready to bless. Mothers, this goes for you too. This goes for all of us, his children. He invites us to ask for whatever we need, whether it's physical, whether it's strength to fight for temptation, whether it's freedom from addiction, freedom from bondage. He even help with our marriage. He invites us to ask. The Father is here ready and willing to help. So take advantage. Take advantage, because he is ready to ask. The best part, I think, that we celebrate often is that he gives us an invitation to ask for salvation. He gives us the invitation to ask for forgiveness of our sins. And he's willing to meet that deepest need. That deepest need that we have is to be right with him. And he's ready to go beyond and bless. Thank you, Jesus, right? I think that's a good moment to pause and say, thank you, Jesus. You know, the Bible says we have not because we ask not. So what have we not asked for, right, in faith? I believe, what relationship, right? The Father wants to be in relationship with you. And I believe that he wants to hear what's on your heart. He wants you to share with him so you can feel close to him. You know, it's like the best part of your favorite movie or a song, right? You already know what's coming, right? And you say, here it comes, here it comes, here's my part. Ah, ha, 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 ha. You enjoy that part, right? Even though you know it's coming. He's not surprised what you're going to ask. He's not surprised. He even tells Solomon, you didn't ask for this, this, and this, and this. He knows what you can ask for, but he wants you to be specific when you talk to him. And I believe he gets more glory when you do, right? When you specifically ask, it leaves no doubt when the answer comes. So it's clear. I'll give one more thought. Bold prayers, I believe, honors God. This is from that book they sold here, The Circle Maker. God honors bold prayers. So let me encourage you. God isn't offended by your biggest, your wildest dreams, you know? So if you're here today, ask. The Father is so generous and he's so kind. So it's clear that God invites us to ask when we ask according to his will. He responds by giving generously, and God goes beyond. So if I can make one more point, it would be the Father's presence. The Father's presence. Different from the first point of his presence. You see, I told you that grammar. Presence and presence. Right? The Father's presence. If you can put the text up in verse 12, he says, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Man. You see the favor of God, the blessing of God? I will give you a wise. He gives what he asks for, but then he goes beyond, right? He says, nor will ever be. And we all know that Solomon was the wisest man to ever live, right? Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. God goes beyond when we do ask, right? His gifts, it's not because of your goodness, but his kindness. And he is so generous, right? The Bible's clear when it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things will be added unto you. He wants to give. He's ready to give. Because it's Father's Day, I would encourage us to say, fathers, what if we had this disposition? You know, the Bible says, let's be imitators of God. But fathers, what if we had the disposition of being generous? Shouldn't we be ready to give, looking to go beyond the minimum, if I'm correct, right? How do you think that would impact our family? You know, I got two kids, and if that was how I was every day, if my heart was tender and ready to be generous, you see, I know I'm here because I'm a product of a praying mom, right? God is given to her, I think. Just like Solomon said, you've been good to my father. You know, I'm standing here saying he's been good to my mom because he's blessed me. And I know my mom's prayer. How many of you are the answer? You know you're the answer of somebody's prayer. Believe some grandmother, somebody's TT, auntie. I was just in the back with the pastors and they were praying for you. So believe that there are people praying for you and God is ready to be generous. And because he's been so generous to me, I can stand here and say that even though my physical earthly father isn't here, I'm so thankful for my heavenly father, and I haven't been one day without a father. And he's been so good, you know. You know, the song says, we don't understand how everything is going to go. But the song says, you're perfect in all of your ways. You know, Even though I lost my dad many years ago, you're perfect in all of your ways. Even when my kids ask me something or I'm struggling and I didn't see it modeled out, but I'd go to your word and trust that you're giving me what I need to share with them. You're perfect in all of your ways. In the book, The Circle Maker, I referenced it. There's a quote, and it says, the greatest tragedy in life is the prayers that go unanswered because they go unasked.